Assalamu alaikum. I'd like to share with you today the situation that we find ourselves in the world as people who have a deen, as people who have faith, as people who want to practice a revealed prophetic way of life. And yet, we see all of the misunderstandings, all of the difficulties, all of the accusations, all of what we see and experience as discord. I want to share with you as to what is the reason for all of these human, cultural, linguistic, tribal, all of the other differences that occur, and how do they relate to the deen or to religion? What is the relationship between our deen, deen of Islam, and the culture, so to speak, of different Muslim groups? And what is it now that we can do to live as best as we can presently, and know that we have the possibilities of a better future? So I'd like to share with you these two, three key issues. First and foremost, the deen of Islam was not new 1400 years ago. It was a culmination of hundreds of years of traditions that have filtered down for several thousand years, formally starting with the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Formally, I have said. But it means that there were, before then also, quite a number of different, if you like, awakenings, openings, understandings about the meaning of life, the meaning of God, and what happens after life, and all of the other things that went on. But the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam established very clearly the science of Tawheed, that there is one creator who is not seen, who cannot be seen, but he is the source of all seeing and hearing and knowing and all of the other attributes that we have come to know. Then we have the other great prophets, many, many of them coming after Ibrahim alayhi salam. And with the big, if you like, explosion that took place also with Bani Israel and the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and the numerous revealed knowledges that came with that effulgence, and the patriarchs and the numerous other prophets, until we have the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, who was essentially a follower of Musa and wanted to reform what had become deviated and changed. Then we have the culmination of that silsila with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what we have now as Muslims essentially is the original pristine blueprint, which is God-centric, that Allah azza wa jal is in the center of everything, is behind everything, is within everything, is above everything, is before everything, is after everything. So with the advent of Quran and the way of the Prophet Muhammad, we have inherited a re-clarification, a emphasizing the original Abrahamic, if you like, knowledge of Tawheed. And then with it comes also the laws. So what we have in our deen is both the haqiqa, the truth of it. The truth of it is there is one light. From that light, multitudes of other beams have occurred, and all other human beings carry a spark of that light, which is the ruh. But all of us are dependent upon the original divine light. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Mathalu nurihi kamishkatin fiha misbah. Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. He is the ever-living, the ever-sustaining, ever-in-control. So with the advent of this amazing gift of the prophetic, of the Muhammadi package, we have a very clear picture as to the entire business is about Allah Azza wa Jal. And we as human beings have got the ability, the possibility to reflect and understand the nature, if you like, of that unfathomable entity, Allah Azza wa Jal. So we will have understandings of it through our love and our desire to acquire aspects of the divine qualities, which are called the Asma al-Husna. All of us human beings love aspects and all of these attributes. The everlasting, the ever-powerful, the all-hearing, the all-knowing, all of Allah's attributes, al-Sami', al-Basir, al-Qawi, al-Hayy, al-Baqi, all of Allah's attributes, we human beings love them. Who does not love al-Ghani? You find people spending most of their lifetime chasing after a few pennies in order to become a little rich, whereas Allah is al-Ghani. So that is why with outer richness, with outer pursuance of wealth, we will never be satisfied. We will never be content. No doubt it is essential and it is necessary to have sufficient food, sufficient shelter, sufficient clothing, so as we don't have biological needs or are driven by the needs for survival. Those are essential. But once you have basically that, what is it we want? We want happiness. What is happiness based on? On contentment. Where is contentment? It is not going to be in the head. It is in the heart. It's a condition of the heart. Some person can be very content with very little. Another person cannot be content with a great deal of wealth. In fact, the wealthier they are in terms of worldly acquisition, the less content a person can be. Because you have been programming yourself and customizing yourself to acquisition, acquisition, acquisition. Whereas, ibadah, as Allah describes in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, if it is about ibadah of Allah, it implies giving up anything that is worldly. It is for that reason when we come to our salat, we try our best to be dissociated from the world and to completely and utterly enter into another zone of consciousness, giving up the mind consciousness and entering into a zone of light consciousness, higher consciousness, if you like, spirit consciousness or soul consciousness, not discernible consciousness. It is for that reason we get replenished spiritually through prayers, through meditation, through all acts of worship, if they take us away from the realm of the tangible material. So, the Deen of Islam is clarification of this map, that you, I, all human beings, are both worldly and unworldly. We are in this world practicing the way of the ruh, which is non-worldly. So the ruh is captured for a while in this body, activating all of the complex mechanisms of the mind, of the all of the other faculties, in order for us to move beyond them into the zone of light and the unseen. So all of the world of the seen is a mithal. This world is a mithal, is a small sample of the next world. In this world we like goodness, we like contentment, we like harmony, we like beauty, we like majesty, we like all of the things we like are already known in our ruh. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, Allah Azza wa Jalla says. So the ruh, which is within you and I, knows all of these qualities. And in this world, we aspire for them. when we leave this world, we will experience them. It is for that reason we have been clearly told by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this world is where you and I can act. 280 odd ayahs about amal, 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 so that we step out of ourselves. We are not constantly driven by personal selfish reasons. So we do it for its own sake. So as you liberate yourself from the lower self, and the higher self is the ruh, so to speak. So this is our deen. Now then we find numerous, if you like, cultural differences. Now what is a culture? It is the aspiration of a people to live in a manner that has in it continuity and coherence and understanding, which brings about a glue to hold those people together. So we say, we don't do it this way. So I want to share with you today to distinguish between the origin and Islam original and the true essence of our deen and the way we Muslims practice it in numerous parts of the world. When the Prophet ﷺ came to the darkness of Arabia, he allowed many of the old habits and enhanced them, such as the habits of Safa and Marwa. People were surprised, how is it that he is actually insisting that this should be part of the Islamic, if you like, way of life. So, but there were other habits that he insisted they should not be allowed anymore, such as abusing other people through money, riba, such as the killing of the baby girl, and. So Islam became a filter of the existing Arabic culture. Many of the things were discarded, some of the things were reinstated. The same thing applies to other cultures. But as time goes by, a culture will acquire certain things and habits that are neither Islamic nor anti-Islamic. But then there are other habits that you can, if you look at them with justice and with courage, you will find them unacceptable to Islam. I can give you hundreds of examples, but I give you a few ones. Take, for example, the habits that we now have that are acceptable. They are neither great nor good nor bad. Our mosques. We know that the Prophet ﷺ did not advise people to build a mosque higher than two people standing on top of each other, so that the muezzin can make a jump onto the roof and do the adhan. But nowadays we have certain mosques that the roof is so high that you cannot even go with the highest ladder. Now you can't say this is really haram. But you take the shape of minarets. There were no minarets at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. There were none of these architectural things that we now consider to be the symbol of Islam. If you tell a non-Muslim Islam, they immediately think of a minaret and of a cupola. Now, these came much later. And you can't say it is bad, you can't say it is original Islam either. That is why minarets in the West, if you go to Egypt and westward, you find them very thin, because they imitated the Egyptian masalla. They imitated the pharaonic, if you like, sculptures, devoting that sculpture and that donation to prayers to God. If you go to the East, if you go to India, Pakistan, and more to the East, you find the minaret much wider. You know, it actually echoes aspects of the existing religions and culture of those areas. And there are other aspects of our culture that are unacceptable. Take the culture of eunuchs. We have eunuchs in our culture in a way that you will wonder how could not be condemned. For hundreds of years, during the latter part of the Abbasid period, during the Ottoman period, you had thousands of eunuchs. Now, to render a male to become a eunuch is an unjust and an interference in the human, if you like, dignity. So what did we do? We would not allow, it was haram for a Muslim to operate and render a male to become a eunuch. But we hired Christian and Jewish doctors. Egypt, in Spain, in Italy, elsewhere. We had these doctors performing the operation, but we buy the eunuch. So it's like saying it is haram to make wine, but I'm going to have the bottles. You see? So hundreds of such examples that are cultural. But if you look at it with sufficient courage, you will find it is not allowed. What would the Prophet ﷺ said if you ask him that I'm going to have eunuchs? Many, many, many other such activities that were un-Islamic. For the best part of 300-400 years, when the Turkish Sultan died, the son who was proclaimed to be the Sultan was spared, and most other sons were killed. And for the best part of 300 years, you have the Shaykh al-Islam issuing a fatwa that it is allowed to safeguard the caliphate. We have cases where when the Sultan's coffin was lifted, there would be another 10, 20, sometimes 30 and 40 other coffins who were the other sons, killed on the same day, along the same, if you like, janazah. Now, this is cultural. If you look at it with the eye of true Islam, how can this path of justice, allow you to kill all of the other brothers in one go, whilst they have not committed anything? All of it in fear or anticipation that they may revolt. You know. So what I'm trying to share with you is that we have ended up collectively having many habits which we consider to be Islamic. And that is why we fight with each other. If you go to the origin of our deen, it's about saving yourself from yourself. It's about, as the Prophet ﷺ says, أول الدين معرفة الله. The beginning of your deen is to know Allah. How do you know Allah? To know Allah's qualities, to know Allah's attributes, to know Allah's presence, to be fearful, to have taqwa. Then comes the community aspects, which is as important. Because it's very easy to save yourself from yourself and be illumined. But how about serving society? Not as easy. Serving people and community, and it's more complex, more difficult. You need greater tolerance, greater understanding, greater patience until they come around to realize that this existence is about knowing that Allah is ever present. Allah knows, Allah hears, Allah sees. So you become all the time aware of your action, all the time aware of your intention, all the time accountable, all the time ready to let go, ready to leave this world any minute, because you are rendering your hisab at all times. So it is essentially that if you and I at any time talk about unity, talk about ummah, talk about becoming more compassionate, we need to go back to the transformation of our deen. As you know, our deen has these two aspects. One is haqiqah, Mecca. 40-odd% of all the ayahs of Quran were revealed in Mecca. And they are about, aren't you aware that any minute you may die? Can't you see Allah الذي خلق السماوات والأرض and. Then you have Medina about civilization. That you have to be just, you have to be correct. There are the aspects of Sharia. That is why Sharia without Haqiqa is a barren desert. And Haqiqa without Sharia is a foggy light. You need both. Your inward, our inward should be truth. And truth is beyond limitations, is the light of lights, it is beyond time and space. So inwardly we are haqiqah, outwardly we are accountable to sharia. Where is salat? Where is sawm? Where is zakat? So on and so forth. Now, go back also to the origin of madhabs. You find within 100, 150 odd years, there were no such things. There were people who did their best to live the Quran and interpret the way the Prophet ﷺ lived. Then distances, because of the huge, if you like, space that the Muslims occupied. Think of it, there were no papers. There were no publications, there was no internet, there was no copying. How did this information come? If I tell one of you now something, which is a little bit complicated, I assure you in 3 days' time, it will not come out the same way. It is for that reason we had developed ilm al-rijal, the knowledge that goes on with the aspects of our hadith. That who said it? What is the isnad? How reliable was he? How honest was he? Etc., etc. Because a lot of confusion had occurred in between. Therefore, we ended up with up to maybe 50, 60 different madhabs. And a madhab was as good as the great scholar who had it. At one time, the greatest madhab was of all was called Awza'i, great alim who is buried in what is now Lebanon. This is before the other madhabs also. And many of the others took from that. Because this was a great alim who accumulated a great deal of scholarship, as well as insight, as well as light. And he knew that this cannot make sense. But in time there were many others, ending up slowly by slowly reduced to the so-called four Sunni madhabs, and then the Ja'fari, and then of course you have got few others with it. So we ended up with 6-7 acknowledged madhabs now. But look at the situation we are in now with the globalization. You can say it's terrible because we cannot maintain anymore a closed city or a society. But equally you can look at the positive side, that with this situation we have to go back to Islam original. Do not deny the Turkish or the Arabic or the Persian or the Egyptian culture or the Moroccan culture. Do not deny that, but you will soon find these cultural things will fall by the wayside. Most of us nowadays are dressed in a Western way because our skills and our technologies have come from the West. So are we now going to remain anti-Western? Or are you going to say, no, I accept the basis of rationality, some science, some technology, and I'm going to build on that, but I'm going to have the other half, or the most important half of my life, based on taqwa. That any minute I may die, and when I die, I will live in my grave as I am in my heart and mind now. Therefore, I need to purify my heart, I need to clarify my mind, so that any minute I am ready to leave. So that you have faith and trust, there is an account, there is another life, there is resurrection, and all of that. Therefore, you will not be swamped, if you like, by the materialistic culture as a 100%. No. Take it as you have to live nowadays, our way of life. We did not develop a way of life that was different, therefore we can accept, if you like, certain measure of technology, certain measure of this education, but equally I want to be awakened, enlightened, to know in my heart for sure that there is one light behind all the rainbows and all the booms even. It is a light that creates the stone. It is the light that creates all the galaxies in the world. So as you do not lose the deen, but you do not remain constantly confrontational in a way that it is really at the end of the day, it is not going to be that important. What is important is for you to awaken to the oneness. What is important is for you to perform your ibadat, so as you are all the time recharged, replenished, and what is important for you to be about yourself, not to be compromising, but to be compassionate and understanding about others. So the essence of our deen is that there is one creator and he's created you to know him. And in the deen عند الله الإسلام, submitting to that. And then having faith and trust that you every year you will come to know more. And when you leave this world you will come to know truly. So you have iman. And you live in the path of ihsan, that know that Allah knows you. Allah is recording you. Every cell in you records your state. So be careful. Do not antagonize. Do not curse. Do not be careful. You never know. Someday your remedy, your medicine may be that which you have hated. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَحُبُّوا شَيْئًا. So you, as you then, you live the Qur'an. But you do not become isolated because the world is no longer this divided cultures here and there. It's going to be outwardly culture of performance, a culture of rationality, a culture of based on, if you like, science and technology. But what about the inner technology? We have a very clear map for that. Let us concentrate on where we can meet each other. Let us concentrate where the true believer in the oneness, ever presence of the divine light, we can at least be in reasonable harmony. And it does not matter what madhab, as long as it is an authentic one, and that it does not deny the foundation of our deen, which is the basis of the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet and respect for the others. That is all. Once you have accepted that, then you find cultural differences are beautiful. What is wrong with them having different mosque architecture? What is their slight different way of performing certain aspects of the ibadah, whether it is psalm, as long as it falls within the basic tenets of Islam. And then you will enjoy the differences, rather than finding differences as a cause for animosity and an enmity. Let us be enemy of the shaitan within, which is the nafs. That is the jihad al-akbar, as the Prophet ﷺ tells us. The nafs amaratun bisu, because it wants to become demigod. Knock that down. Be humble. And then you find the light in you will always lead you to the ever-present light before and after and within. So, to return back to Islam original will make us tolerant of Muslim cultures, will also show us certain aspects of Muslim cultures is unacceptable, but most of the other aspects of it is fine, it's within the whole general pattern of tolerance. And then we can then deal with the rest of the world by living in this world but not off this world. Remembering that any minute you may leave this world. Are you ready? Are you content? Is your heart content with whatever Allah has put for you? Are you facing the challenges with both your aql, your mind, your intellect, and your heart? So if the two are united, then you are beginning to enter into the zone of your inner unity. This is what distinguishes us, because our path, our deen is clear. The Quran is clear. The way of the Prophet is clear. But if you want to look for differences and doubts, you will find it. If you want to look for where we unite as human beings, we are all the same. We want happiness, we want contentment, we want to know, we want security. And the intelligent person knows there is no reliable, absolute security in this world. It will only come after you leave this world. But all of our activities here is a practice for goodness. Practice for whatever is going to be lasting goodness for the largest number of human beings. Then you are doing amal salih. Goodness that will last. Goodness that will stand the test of time. Goodness that will also transcend your own family or clan or, if you like, your own nation. Goodness for humanity. So we are all children of Adam. Also, you must care more for your immediate people, your immediate family, your neighborhood, your city, the Muslims. But it must overflow to become rahmatan lil alameen. Then it is the original deen that we have. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to make us live as though we are in the presence of the prophet of our deen, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla to keep us always aware of divine presence. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla to keep us always in taqwa. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla to keep us always in humbleness and in willingness to learn and to progress from better to better. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.